This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. At 7:06 on this Thursday morning, December 5th, nice to have you along. We are moments away from talking to Brad Woodhouse with Protect Our Care about some of the things that range from concern to extremism to downright quackery that might be coming from the Trump administration in the area of public health. Then at 7:30, we'll talk to our friend Mark Jacob, a veteran Chicago journalist. Normally, we talk to him on Fridays at 7:30. He's coming in a day early. We'll talk about media coverage of the Trump transition, a very troubling new anecdote about the direction that MSNBC is going in. And by the way, we're talking to Mark Jacob a day early because tomorrow at 7:30, we will be visiting with Congressman Mark Pocan to find out more about getting set for the new Congress and the new administration and all that it's going to bring. It has been an extremely windy and bitterly cold 24 hours or so here across Wisconsin. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us now to talk about it, which includes the weather from Tigerton, where Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's clear and 14 degrees, feels like zero. Roads are slippery, especially on county and town roads. I was up early salting and plowing sidewalks and parking lots in Tigerton. Yesterday, coming home from Shawano, I ran into that snow squall along 29 between Shawano and Wittenberg. Very slippery. Dress in layers and leave early, Rob says, and then goes on to ask, does Brittany still wear her snow dresses like she did on television a few years ago?
What?
Did you had snow dresses that you would wear, Ms. Merlot?
Picks or it didn't happen.
Oh, they're on social media. I'll have to bust this out again, honestly. Okay. When we get our first big widespread snowstorm, I'll just wear it in the morning. But wow. Yeah, it's a blue dress, a bunch of snowflakes on it. I've got a couple of them over the years. You know, I got known as the snow dress girl or the snow angel because I love doing snow angels. So.
All right. Well, consider yourself on notice that yeah, even on this radio show, we are expecting snow fashion at the appropriate time.
Yes. Love it.
How bad were the wind gusts over the past 24 hours or so?
Ooh, they were vicious. My goodness. So we had gusts from 50 to 55 miles per hour. Actually, Kewaskum clocked 56 miles per hour. And this was all over the state. So as that cold front moved in, winds got strong out of nowhere, it kind of seemed like. And then the snow started flying around, rapidly reducing visibility. Snow squall warnings went out in different portions of the state where, you know, if you find yourself driving like Rob was on Highway 29 and you get hit with that, I just imagine some people slamming on their brakes. I could see some semis still going. That's why it becomes a dangerous situation and those warnings go out. But today, we're not looking at much for a good chunk of the state. Still a little bit of lake effect snow continuing along Lake Superior, but we're only looking at a trace to about a half an inch. Everywhere else statewide, you're going to see some sunshine today. So high pressure tries to build in. The winds still stay feisty. They will be gusting around 30 miles per hour today, but nothing like yesterday and no snow for most of us. But we're stuck in the cold, so we still have wind chills that we have to battle. Right now it feels like 10 below into portions of southern Wisconsin, about the single digits into the northern parts. And as we go through the afternoon, we'll hit highs in the low to mid 20s, plus those winds. We'll be really feeling like the single digits to teens. So like Rob also said, layers, layers, layers.
Yes, exactly. Feisty. I like that. A feisty wind.
Yeah.
That's out there from Brittany, our snow queen. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too, guys.
All right, 7:10 right now on Up North News Radio. And as we turn our attention back to the Trump transition, we have spoken several times with Joe Zepecki as he does work for Protect Our Care at the state level. At the national level, Protect Our Care Executive Director Brad Woodhouse put out a note yesterday or the day before about some of Donald Trump's other selections for key healthcare leadership positions. All the attention has been on Robert Kennedy Jr., and there probably should be even more attention on him and his troubling stances, but he's not alone in this roster that Trump is putting together and its potential impact on public health. And so Brad Woodhouse from Protect Our Care joins us now. Brad, good morning. Thank you for being with us today.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so nice to see you. This is an interesting kind of development that you're pointing out, because you note that RFK Jr. and, oh yeah, by the way, Dr. Oz, they deserve a lot of scrutiny, but let's not forget who else is out there. So let me just turn that over to you to just explain a couple of the other folks who might be flying under the radar, but that maybe people need to know about.
Well, so let me set the stage for this just a little bit before I get into some of those other names. I mean, let's associate all of this with Donald Trump.
Sure.
Donald Trump has never cared about the health care of the American people. He started his first term, hell-bent on repealing the Affordable Care Act. When he couldn't do that, he completely did everything he could to sabotage it. The Affordable Care Act was in a near crisis when Joe Biden came into office. He turned that around. Not to mention, we were in a pandemic crisis. So from Trump, we got it from both sides. He went after healthcare coverage. He did nothing about healthcare costs. Did nothing about prescription drugs. And then he intentionally, for his own political benefit, mismanaged the pandemic. And now he is hell bent on doing that all over again. And I can't even start this segment without saying that we have a war room. It's called the RFK War Room. You can imagine what it is. That is completely intended to defeat RFK Jr.'s nomination to be Secretary of Health and Human Services. We just think that he presents them of all the nominees the most existential crisis. And existential's a real and potent word here. I mean, he went to Samoa, American Samoa, some years ago, spread a bunch of misinformation about the measles vaccine, and associated with his misinformation, 83 Samoans died. So if you extrapolate that type of disaster into what he could do with the bully pulpit of running the Department of Health and Human Services, we're out to defeat his nomination. We think they all should go down. We'd like to defeat the nomination of everybody that Donald Trump has nominated for healthcare, because in some ways it's almost like he's just simply trolling. Like you think you want good healthcare? Wait, you see, hold my beer. And then he's nominating people who are anathema. I mean, like the last thing that some of these people care about, whether it's RFK Jr. or Mehmet Oz or Dave Weldon, the last thing that they care about is providing, real healthcare to the American people. And look, they're grifters. I mean, that's. Can you just imagine? RFK Jr. right now is selling merch about his nomination. He and his wife were, I don't know, showering nude or whatever, and selling some type of stuff over the weekend. So these are really scary people. But we have Marty Makary for Food and Drug Administration. And here's someone who, all roads to some extent lead to Donald Trump, but all roads also lead to RFK Jr. I mean, I think Marty Makary's, most notable thing is that he supports RFK Jr.'s bogus science claims, and he wants to overhaul, the Food and Drug Administration. The Food and Drug Administration, I mean, if there's any organization in the United States of America that should not be politicized, I mean, it's the Food and Drug Administration. I understand there are a lot of powerful interests, there are agricultural, interests. There's, the whole food, you know, food industry. Then they're obviously, you know, advocates for, you know, for good nutrition. So there is a lot of politics in it, but at the end of the day, it should be led by science. And Marty McCary was the last person that will lead with science.
It should be. But again, whether it's the FDA or the EPA, not only do you have these troubling nominees, but now you have a U.S. Supreme Court that is looking at these agencies and saying, well, maybe you don't actually have the authority that you thought that you did. And so it's all already like these nominees have waiting accomplices over in the judicial branch to strike down whatever was done prior to Trump's election that they don't like.
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, and these, you know, to the extent that the largely Trump appointed Supreme Court wants to roll back the administrative state, these folks, they'll just roll over for that because they don't have plans to do things. They have plans to stop things. They have plans to roll back things. They have plans to inject skepticism about science, about infectious diseases, about vaccines, you know, into the public domain, really for no other reason than they think they're all a bunch of pseudoscientists and grifters. And look, I believe that RFK Jr., he was an environmental lawyer. He probably has some, did some things that even people on our side would believe were good back in the day when he was, you know, fighting the fight on the environment. But I believe that he came to vaccine skepticism, you know, partly because of grifting. I mean, this has been a thing he was making. I saw somewhere $20,000 a week with the group that he was running or associated with before he started running for president. $20,000 a week with a group that is filing, you know, bogus lawsuits about vaccines, that is spreading vaccine, disinformation. And so none of these people are coming to this. Look, you know, in the last administration, we had people running HHS. We had people running the Center for Medicare and Medicaid, which Mim and Oz has been nominated to, that we disagreed with on policy. But they were professionals. I mean, maybe not the type of professionals we would put in. You know, the first or the second, I guess, HHS secretary had been a pharma executive. The head of CMS had been a healthcare person under Pence in Indiana, had led, I think, his Department of Health. So, you know, so those were people that had some credentials. We disagree with their policies. These people have no credentials.
It gets back to that whole notion of what we actually want to get back to, believe it or not, in this country, are honest disagreements, you know, rooted in a shared set of facts. And that's what's lacking when you put people in who are just engaged in marketing and quackery. So it's part of a conversation we're going to continue here with Brad Woodhouse in just a moment. First, a quick note that tonight the Packers play at Detroit. You can catch the pregame starting at 5:00 on Civic Media stations in Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, and Park Falls. And of course, we'll be talking about it tomorrow morning here on Up North News Radio. We'll continue our conversation with Brad Woodhouse in just a bit. I'm Pack Wrightlaw. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Build a snowman. Come on, let's go and play. I never see you anymore. Come out the door. It's like you've gone away.
Okay, we didn't get that much snow, but since it's Walt Disney's birthday, we thought we'd throw a little something out there toward him on Up North News Radio at 7:21. The publisher of the LA Times now wants to personally review headlines. And Mika Brzezinski is now apologizing on air for mild criticism of Fox News. Those are just two of the topics we'll talk to Mark Jacob about in less than 15 minutes. But now we're going to continue our conversation with Brad Woodhouse from Protect Our Care about the interesting nominee choices by President-elect Trump in all kinds of areas that would affect our public health, our ability to ward off a pandemic. We got into the person that would head up the FDA. You briefly mentioned Dave Weldon, who would set up the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And he is the former Republican member of Congress from Florida. That in itself should probably be disqualifying, but it also, you know, his thinking on things like the pandemic. I guess we're no strangers to here since we have Ron Johnson here in Wisconsin. Yeah. And imagine Ron Johnson running the CDC.
Oh, my God. I mean, I can't even fathom. First of all, you know, I want to think about, you know, when we think about these nominations and we think about we're running this RFK war room to defeat his nomination. To some extent, we want to think about, you know, what could you say to a Republican senator if one would take my, you know, if one would take my call? I think every Republican senator who is even remotely a possibility to vote against any of these nominees, and if they have children, I think probably most of them do, I bet they got them vaccinated.
Oh, of course they
did. And I bet they got them vaccinated. I bet some even probably got them vaccinated for COVID, but then get them vaccinated annually for the flu, got them vaccinated for measles and rubella and polio. And I just want to think, if you were taking your child at that point in your life to the doctor's appointment to get them these vaccinations that will help guarantee that they don't contract these diseases, and you ran into Dave Weldon or RFK Jr. in the elevator and they said, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't vaccinate your child. I mean, you would think that that person was a quack. You would get off on the very first floor. You couldn't take the stairs up. I mean, that are the type of people that these Republican senators are getting ready to vote. And I think RFK Jr. is existential. The head of HHS has such a bully pulpit. And remember, they're over, you know, immigration resettlement. They're over HHS. They're over CMS. They're over the Affordable Care Act, Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP, and all of this, you know, stuff about infectious diseases and research. But I will say Dave Weldon is equally scary, because the CDC, and in particular, once the advisory committee has made recommendations, the CDC director is the person responsible providing guidance to the American people about vaccinations. I mean, remember how often we were waiting throughout the course of coronavirus pandemic, and then even after Biden came into office, about what are the instructions? What do we need to do? What do we need to do for our children? When do we need to get in line? How many times do we need to get stuck? What, you know, which one of the variety of vaccines should we take depending on who we are and what our pre-existing conditions are? That's what the CDC, and you've got a vaccine denier in Dave Weldon, and a vaccine denier. Skeptic, by the way, Pat, we should not call these folks vaccine skeptics, particularly RFK Jr.
Yeah.
He's bragged about walking around telling parents not to vaccinate their kids. That's not a skeptic. That's not a skeptic.
No. Now, if you're a denier, you're denying facts and science. That, you know, there's more here. There's the nominee for Surgeon General. There's the nominee to run the National Institutes of Health. There's the nominee to be the Deputy Secretary of Health and Human Services. And what you've got here are things that there's either ties to industry or there's just talking heads on Fox News and other cable.
I mean, I think one of the through lines, and it doesn't apply to every single person that he has nominated, but RFK Jr., what is he? He's a celebrity. I mean, you know, the only reason anyone knows about RFK Jr. is he was able to get even a little bit of attention when he started running for president as a Democrat, and then he switched to being an independent, and then he switched to supporting Trump, is because of his last name. Mehmet Oz, another celebrity. And the person that is now being nominated to be Attorney General has spent 5 years on Fox News as a talking head. And so, you know,
Brad, by the way, Wisconsin, Sean Duffy, for Transportation Secretary, we're really aware of the path from reality TV to Washington, D.C., and it literally hurts our heads. Alicia writes it on YouTube to say, I physically shuddered at the thought of Ron Johnson heading the FDA would be an understatement, because we have seen this show here, and so we can express our amazement all day long that this happens, but I got to, in our short time left, I've got to take it to, where do we go from here? I hate to say it, it's clear that not all of these nominees are going to run into brick walls and go down in flames like a Matt Gaetz, but the opposite of that would be to just roll over and accept all of this. And I'm sure you're not advocating that folks do that either.
No, we can't do that. I mean, Pat, I will tell you, I think one of the things that Protect Our Care as an organization brings to the table is that we're not focused on just one single issue in healthcare or one single issue in public health. We're focused on the broad landscape and we're focused on the politics. And so, you know, we are building a case right now for big elections in 2025 in Virginia, New Jersey. We're building a case right now on healthcare for the midterm elections in 2026. So we have to do this because we got to lay down a record. Healthcare has been one of the biggest issues in elections going back a dozen years or more. It was a top five issue in this last election, and people that voted on healthcare voted overwhelmingly for Democrats. I mean, Tammy Baldwin was a beneficiary of that. So we have got to lay down these tracks and we've got to put public pressure on them. They will undermine public health. They will undermine healthcare if we're not vigilant and fighting these proposals, fighting this conspiracy theories, fighting this vaccine denialism every single day.
And that's just it. It has to be exposed and it has to be blocked as much as humanly possible. And don't just roll over and take it. Brad Woodhouse from Protect Our Care, protectourcare.org. Thank you so much for giving us so much of your time this morning. I hope we can check in again soon.
Pat, thank you so much.
All right, you bet. Take care. When we come back, we'll talk to Mark Jacob next about some of the troubling developments in the media as part of the Trump transition. That's on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Okay, bye.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Jim Messina, known by most for Loggins and Messina, 77 years old today, but he was also in Poco, and he co-wrote their 1989 hit Call It Love, sung there by Rusty Young. Did you know that Up North News is more than a radio show and a website and a newsletter? You can also find us on social media. All kinds of posts going on there. For example, I'm looking at a Facebook post from yesterday talking about how cheese, it isn't just for curds or crackers. One of the Greene County Highway Department uses cheese brine to help keep the roads safe. When combined with salt, it improves traction and melts the snow and ice faster. See what you can learn just by scrolling social media, looking for the good sites, not the doom scrolling. Look for Up North News WI when you're searching for social media and find some of the things that our team is busy putting up. Mark Jacob joins us a day early tomorrow morning at 7:30. We will talk to Congressman Mark Pocan. Mark, thank you for your flexibility. How are you doing today?
Doing great.
Mark, of course, has the Stop the Presses newsletter. Get it at stopthepresses.news, along with On Target, his video series with Stephen Beschloss. And I've already thrown out a couple of things that I wanted to ask you about. Let's start with the LA Times first, and a case of, I guess I'm being rhetorical, I don't think I've got the details wrong, but did I see correctly that the LA Times, whose publisher had already spiked a Kamala Harris endorsement, is now requiring certain headlines to be run by him, the publisher, first?
Yeah, so his name is Patrick Soon-Shiong. He's a South African native. He made his bunch of money in medical. He's a doctor, he's a physician, and he made a bunch of money with a medical discovery, you know, for a cancer drug. And so he had a lot of money. The Los Angeles Times has been in, you know, financial difficulties. And so he bought it a few years ago. And he didn't make a lot of news for years and years. But lately, he seems to have gone like full MAGA. And he He's named Scott Jennings. That guy was always apologizing for Trump on CNN. He named Scott Jennings to the editorial board. Eesh. And he's made a couple of new moves that are really alarming. And I know people who work at the Los Angeles Times, and they've just got to be just, you know, in full panic, because this is not, he's like turning one of the nation's biggest newspapers into, you know, this just mega outlet, I think. So the first thing that, as far as he has decided to have, he got ticked off about a headline. There was a headline on an opinion piece that was, Elon Musk bought himself a starring role in Trump's second term. What could go wrong? So that's the headline. You know, that doesn't seem, you know, libelous to me or anything, but it ticked off Soon Shiong, and he's ordered the opinion staff to send him by email every headline that they want to publish in the opinion section. So, yeah, I mean, sure. The guy doesn't have anything else better to do than to look at headlines. I mean, it's wacky. It also, the thing about it, Pat, is this has a chilling effect on the ability of journalists to do their job.
It does, and it makes it easier, again, for, you know, misinformation to be, you know, placed into news roles. Now, again, we're not going to accuse Fox News of doing actual news, but Greg's got a soundbite I want to play from Fox News where Speaker of the House Mike Johnson was on, and you took note of this comment as well. This is Mike Johnson's upside down, you know, black is white is black view of what the House Republican majority is like as they head into the new session. Here's Speaker Johnson.
The House would have a larger majority, but redistricting and gerrymandering in the blue states made that almost impossible. But we do have the majority. We know how to govern with that small majority. We've been doing it for a year. We will fill those seats. There'll be three vacant when we start, so it'll go from 220 to 217. That is razor thin, but it'll only be for a few months. And we're very confident that we'll get qualified governing conservatives put back in those seats, and we'll grow that margin as we go.
And what you didn't have there was a pushback, I'm sure, by the Fox News host saying, I'm sorry, you know how to govern with a small majority? Do you know how much nothing you did last year? But that kind of talking point is just allowed to float out there, and accusing blue states of gerrymandering when we know what happened in North Carolina, Ohio, and other states.
Well, you know, and I live in Illinois, and Illinois is a Democratic gerrymandered state. I mean, I'll admit it, you know, I mean, I'm usually vote for Democrats these days, but I'll admit that. But it's one of those problems is that there are many more states that are gerrymandered in favor of Republicans, and the Democrats want to fix the whole thing. I mean, they've been calling for many years for to eliminate gerrymandering. The Republicans have no interest in it. I mean, I'm talking to a Wisconsin audience, so you guys know totally what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, so for him to like suggest that, well, boy, because of gerrymandering, it's close. No, I mean, if you look at what happened in North Carolina, especially when it's just obnoxious gerrymandering in the middle of the decade, you know, which is usually when that doesn't happen. It's shameful. And for Mike Johnson just lies all the time. I mean, that's what he does. And it's just awful.
Yeah, but, and look, and in Wisconsin, too, you had Speaker Robin Voss saying, well, Democrats only won because, you know, an activist Supreme Court, you know, monkeyed around with the maps. No, they actually fixed your gerrymander. You know, fixing a gerrymander does not itself constitute a gerrymander. But again, so long as you have media outlets that don't call this out when the person is lying to their face, you know, then they're not served well. And yet, switching gears here. If you criticize Fox News on MSNBC now, apparently that's now a no-no, because in Atlantic Monthly, there's a new column there by David Frum who talks about how Mika Brzezinski on Morning Joe felt the need to apologize on air after some criticism that he had mentioned in the previous segment about Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth and Fox News. I am genuinely stupefied at the direction that network is going in.
Well, yeah. What Frum said, it was just, he was talking about, you know, Hegseth, who's, you know, showed up, you know, to work at Fox with, you know, alcohol in his breath, and his, you know, just reputation as just being a wild drunk in public. And And what Frum said was, it was kind of a just a throwaway line, but he said, if you're too drunk for Fox News, you're very, very drunk indeed. And which, you know, I mean, it's just a laugh line to me. And for some reason, the Morning Joe crew at MSNBC, the same ones who, you know, went down to Mar-a-Lago to, you know, bend the knee to Trump recently, they had to come on the air later and say that, well, the comment was a little too flippant for the moment we're in. We, you know, where there are good people at Fox News. Well, all right, fine. My feeling about Fox News is, does everyone remember that they paid $750 million, billion with a B, dollars, for lying about the 2020 election, for defaming a company that deals in election systems? And they had to pay a gigantic settlement because they lied to the public about one of the most important stories going on that at the time. I mean, they're not a credible news outlet. And for Joe and Mika to feel like they've got to, like, you know, they've got to suck up to Fox News is shameful. It's really embarrassing, Pat. And when you look at MSNBC, you see, you know, Maddow and others, Chris Hayes and Lawrence O'Donnell, you see them, I think, pretty solid at night. But during the day, and especially in the morning, it's terrible. It's not progressive. It's not left of center. It's like, it's suck up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably the right phrasing to use for that. And so we would be looking for more reputable sites to, you know, really speak truth to power, including calling it out when our political leaders are not truthful. And if they're lying, say they're lying. Right. And yet you pointed out the latest case of the New York Times failing to do so when it talked about, you know, Trump appointee Peter Navarro. And the phrase that they used is, Mr. Navarro sometimes took creative license in his writing. Took creative license in his writing?
Well, this is you know, Navarro, when he wrote books, and in his books, which were supposed to be nonfiction books, he had quoted a character named Ron Vera, V-A-R-A. And so that was just kind of a little anagram for Navarro. And so but he didn't tell anyone that at the time. So he writes these books, and he occasionally will quote someone named Ron Vera as saying, you know, various quotes. And then, you know, it got found out, and he just kind of laughed it off. And apparently the New York Times wants to laugh it off too. I mean, that it's creative license. They use the term creative license. That's not creative license. That's lying. That's people lying. And for them, the New York Times has a long history of finding, you know, funny ways to describe lying as if they find it amusing. And you know, talk about the moment we're in that Mika Brzezinski was talking about. We're in a moment where it's not funny to lie, and it's not amusing. And we don't really need more liars in public office using their creative license.
No, and the same can be said for violent rhetoric and, you know, the ways that some of Trump's nominees are already talking about doing things that are against the Constitution, the entire thing. Again, we can't guard enough against not normalizing this kind of behavior, which is why we bring it up repeatedly in segments like this. Hey, before we go, because we're, you know, we just passed Black Friday and we're into the shopping season. I know we talked about this several weeks back, but can we talk again about the book that you and your brother worked on? Because I'm sure people are still looking for gift ideas. And the one about the Harlem Globetrotters, I think is worth mentioning for folks that missed it last time around. Can you tell us more about the book?
I'd love to. So my brother Matthew and I wrote a book called Globetrotter, How Abe Saperstein Shook Up the World of Sports. It's a biography of Abe Saperstein, guy who founded the Harlem Globetrotters, but also did a lot of other fascinating things in sports. Like he pioneered the three-point shot in basketball. Almost nobody knows that, but he's responsible more than any other person for the fact that you know, Caitlin Clark shooting three-point shots, and so was Steph Curry and everyone else. And it's he also was important in baseball and Negro Leagues baseball, and he got Satchel Paige into the major leagues at the age of 42. And you know, so it also deals with the Globetrotters as this force touring the world and promoting Americanism. And we found like old communications by the State Department that are in the National Archives that kind of show how the State Department was working hand in glove with the Globetrotters, telling them what countries to go to kind of to, in effect, they were a propaganda weapon during the Cold War. So the book breaks new ground. It's fun, but it's also serious about racism of the time and how the Globetrotters were, you know, had to operate because black players weren't allowed in NBA at first and stuff like that. So it's called Globetrotter, How Abe Saperstein Shook Up the World of Sports. And if you have a sports fan in your family, I think you'll find it really interesting. It's by Mark Jacob and Matthew Jacob.
And you'd find it, the publisher is Roman and Littlefield, I assume, are the publishers here.
Yeah, and I mean, it's on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. You know, get it. You can order it digitally. It may not be. You may not find it in bookstores. You may, but you may not. But it's definitely online and available.
I like bringing it up because, again, I know you were proud of that, and it's been a long time since we talked about some of the other books you've written, and we're in that period now where, again, we could talk about politics nonstop.
Yeah.
It's serious. It matters. But it also seems to be the appropriate post-election phase to focus on other things. And we've definitely done that this week so that we're not just, you know, banging the same drum over and over again. And so it leads me to ask, now that this book is done, do you have other projects that you're hoping to get around to now that the presidential cycle is done?
You know, it's interesting. I've actually been developing a list of like 15 different book ideas that I'm thinking about writing because I do want to write another book. One of them is about, I don't know if I'll do this one, but there's a corner in Chicago that was at the time called Death Corner, where because these Sicilian black hand gangs used to kidnap people, kill them, and drop them off at the corner. And it was also a famous corner in Chicago during the Cabrini-Green era, you know, when the public housing project was there at the same location, and it was a famous killing of a child that in effect pushed people to knock down all the public housing at that area. And so it's one of those things where you could take this one street corner and you could kind of go through entire Chicago history that way. I thought that might be a fun thing to do.
It sounds like an urban version of the TV series Yellowstone, the train station where they take people to. Obviously, with the cycle done, there's plenty of other things that we'll be trying to focus on so that it's not all work and no play. And we're very thankful that Mark Jacob is along for the ride on that. Thank you very much, Mark. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
All right. Luke Mathers is coming up right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We figured we would mark the anniversary of the end of Prohibition appropriately in a musical way as we wrap things up on a Thursday morning here on Up North News Radio.
Here's a song.
Isn't that
about,
convenient? I didn't know that was today.
Who knows what was in that cup? We don't know.
Here's Look a song all, about binge drinking, everybody. We Welcome all, as to we the all, end of Prohibition.
As we all reach for our coffee wink cup.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
How convenient.
Mr. Mathers, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Krylo. How are
good,
you?
Good, good, good. Thank you. I already know that you cast your vote, and I appreciate it. But last call for the Volume 1 Best of the Chippewa Valley voting. The poll is voting is open until tomorrow night at midnight. So get on in there and vote for Up North News Radio for Best Radio Show. There are so many other categories in there as well. And frankly, I think a lot of people ought to get in there and vote for Keith Edwards for best news anchor in the Chippewa Valley, to send a message to Allen Media, who did all these layoffs at Wisconsin TV stations, that was a really dumb move.
This is why you don't trust stand-up comedians with business. They fire people.
Exactly.
They can't be trusted.
They become billionaires first, and then they fire all these folks. Anyway, Volume 1, spell out the word one, O-N-E, volume1.org is where you could vote for the Best of the Chippewa Valley, and we appreciate your support. Mr. Mathers, how's your Christmas shopping going?
Christmas shopping?
I like that look of surprise. Like, what?
Why don't you just ask me
my St. Patty's plans?
Yeah. You know? No, got me off guard. In some regards, really well. In other regards, not so great. I think there's actually a pile of picked out Christmas presents right here. Oh. So I'll just make sure that we cover that up so that nobody watching can see what's there.
Smooth. All right.
I think mostly the nieces and nephews stuff is on top, and I don't think they're watching the program this early. It's going well. Some people are hard to shop for, especially when you're supposed to give a list, a wish list, and they don't. So racking my brain a little bit on that one, but ultimately think I'm going to be able to pull off a good Secret Santa.
Greg has a list.
I have a list. I made my list back in late September, early October. And then my mom, every year, she's like, I need your list. I'm like, I sent you my list. And then I was like, I say, Mom, I need your list. Oh, I don't need anything. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. And then she goes, I have two things. All right, great. Give me the two things you need. Great. Awesome. And I said, and this year she did that again. And I said to her, I'm marking the day and the time you said this, because in less than 1 month, you're going to reach out to both me and your daughter, AKA my sister, and say, I have a couple other things I want to put on the list there if it's okay. Just make a list throughout the year. I make a list throughout the year.
She can add any last minute item she wishes, okay, Greg?
Doesn't mean she gonna get it.
Wow.
Well, you just got to note it down, and then next time.
Yes. I will say, and I'm not, trust me, I don't, none of us need to give Jeff Bezos any extra money. But what we do is with our daughters, the one in Michigan and one in Idaho, we've just got them used to the idea of using Amazon wish lists, which, yes, it's convenient. You see the item, you could click on it and have it shipped. That, sure, that might happen. But I make it very clear to them, like, if I'm putting something on an Amazon wish list, you do not have to get it at Amazon. And you don't have to necessarily get this exact thing. But it is a pretty convenient way to say, because otherwise people go, list? Who makes a list? I don't have a notebook handy or whatever, but like right there, you're on Amazon anyway.
Now, Pat, they're so organized. They have like a running Google, and they use it for not just Christmas lists. Yeah. It's like any birthdays, special occasions, anything like that. They just have a running Google tab.
Did that for like, it started with Christmas cards, obviously, but now we have a running Google Doc with mailing addresses, phone numbers, the kids' birthdays, because, you know, there's now so many nieces and nephews and everything else. And if you can do that, you know, in a way on the interwebs, at least the interwebs is good for something, right? Michaela in West Bend puts on the text line, my husband is the worst to buy gifts for. I'm sure he's not listening. He will send me links to the things he wants and then buy it for himself the next day. Well, yes, that would be a problem. I would not recommend that necessarily.
I personally feel like the one thing about Amazon wish lists I wish it could do was, once you've purchased it, if it's on like a Christmas, you can, because it's Amazon, they can do whatever they want. Set up as a Christmas list, like a baby shower list. You mark it off, and then you know someone else has bought it, because it doesn't.
Why? Are you worried that three people are going to buy you iPads?
Well, first of all, this isn't about me, Pat. I'm talking about the other people I shop for. This isn't. Yes. This is about the season of giving, Mr. Kreitlow.
I see.
Award nominated radio journalist.
Luke,
squeeze that all on a coffee mug. You just got to squeeze it all on a coffee mug, and that's a great gift for Pat right there.
I feel like I should put that on my next Amazon wish list over here. So, what else is happening in the civic media world this week?
Well, if you are a big fan of the Green and Gold, you're going to want to tune in to one of the civic media stations, because if you haven't cut the cable cord yet, and you normally get your games on cable, sorry, folks, this one's on Amazon Prime. So if you don't have Amazon Prime, you're going to want to tune in Richland Center, in Racine and Kenosha, and in Park Falls to listen to your Green Bay Packers beat the Detroit Lions.
There we go. I like that. Bold prediction. By the way, this is from the text line yesterday. Michael in Tosa says, good morning, Pat and Greg. I used to be in the no sports camp, but it has grown on me. Now I like it. See, Greg, we're winning them over.
Yeah.
You can discuss sports on a news talk station.
You hear that, Nielsen people?
Enjoy in moderation. which is exactly how we enjoy Luke for these 8 little minutes every
week. Up North News Radio, enjoy in moderation.
Enjoy in moderation. Hey, we may be onto something there. Thank you, Mr. Mathers. Have a wonderful day.
You as well.
Greg Bach is back at 10 a.m. for Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. So come on back for that, and come on back here tomorrow for another edition of Up North News Radio from Lake Wissota, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.